Our scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 18 through 25. For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth, and he put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. Gather together and come, you fugitives from surrounding nations. What fools they are who carry around their wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save. Consult together, argue your case. Get together and decide what to say. Who made these things known so long ago? What idol ever told you they would happen? Was it not I, the Lord? For there is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God, there is no other. I have sworn by my own name, have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Every knee will bow down to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to me. The people will declare, the Lord is the source of all my righteousness and strength, and all who are angry with him will come to him and be ashamed. In the Lord, all the generations of Israel will be justified, and in him they will boast. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Well, the first time father was beside himself with excitement at the birth of his new son. And so he walked around the delivery room following the nurse, asking her questions. He asked, okay, what's the best diaper to get for my son? He asked, what's the best type of baby car seat should I get? And then when he asked his third question, the nurse just busted out laughing. She said, oh my goodness, that's my new favorite father question. Today is the last Sunday of our series that we've been looking at called Classics. It's where we look at our favorite hymns and we tell the stories that go behind those hymns. And today, the hymn that I want to talk about is How Great Thou Art. How Great Thou Art. It's such an incredible and powerful hymn that's been sung throughout the ages. I read that it's the GOAT of hymns. Now, I need a young person to help me out and explain what the GOAT mean. What's the GOAT mean, Olivia? The greatest of all time. The number one a hymn is How Great Thou Art. It says this in Colossians 3:16. Paul writes to the early church, let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So imagine, ever since there's ever been a church, people have gathered just like we're gathering now, and they've sung songs of praise to God. And the greatest of all of those songs, the most favorite, has been How Great Thou Art. Paul is telling us that it's important to sing songs of praise to God, because when we do two things. One is we're worshiping God, we're saying these words to God, but another thing is we're saying it to one another. We're inspiring, we're growing the love of God in our hearts. We're sharing faith that we believe. Chances are you will not remember this sermon years from now. But you will remember the song, How Great Thou Art. Well, here's the story behind the song. In 1885, there was a Swedish man by the name of Carl Baberg, and he wrote a poem, and this is what the poem said. When I consider the world which you have made by your almighty word, my soul bursts forth in a song of praise. Oh, great God, oh, great God. Well, years later, there was an English missionary by the name of Stuart Hine. He was doing missionary work in the mountains of Russia, and he came upon Carl's poem. As he's reading the poem, a huge thunderstorm came up, and he had to seek shelter in a cave. As he was huddled waiting out the storm, he kept meditating on the words of the poem. And when the storm was over, he adjusted and adapted some of the words of the song. So in the first verse, he writes this, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Stuart heard birds singing after the storm. And so in the second verse, he writes this, when through the woods and through the forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. Then Stuart saw the Russian mountain people that he came to share Christ's love with. And in the third verse, he writes, and when I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. The song became popular in Billy Graham's Crusades in the early 1900s, and it was actually sung 99 times in 3 days on their crusade. Now, we're not going to sing it quite that many times, but we're going to come close. But as we talk about this song, How Great Thou Art, it begs a question, and here's the question. Why do we need to tell God that God is great? Why do we need to tell God that God is great? Not just in this song, but in the other songs that we sing, how great is our God, in the scriptures that we hear over and over again, we're telling God how great God is. Why is that? Let me tell you why it is by telling you why it's not. It's not to speak greatness into God. It's not to speak greatness into God. To put it another way, I'm not trying to pull out potential that has not yet been reached. I was a soccer coach for 10 seasons with Zachary and JoJo, and there were many times when I tried to speak greatness into the lives of my players, greatness that had not yet been seen or realized. I wasn't lying to them. I was just trying to encourage them to see what I saw that they could achieve. Ethan would pass the ball, and right after a pass, I'd blow the whistle, and I'd say, everybody stop, and I'd go right over to Ethan, and I'd place my hand on Ethan's shoulder, and I'd say, Ethan, that was a great pass. You are a great player. In church, when Brittany's son, Aubrey, gets on the drums and starts banging on the drums, I go over to Aubrey, and I say, Aubrey, you are a great drummer. I see the potential in you. When Bob Lasher gets up to sing a song of praise, I say, Bob Lasher, your gifts lie elsewhere. Okay. We are not speaking greatness into God. It's not that. Here's another thing that it's not. It's not to build up God's ego. It's not to build up God's ego. Sometimes we tell people they're great to lift them up and to encourage them because they've got low self-esteem. They walk around like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, bother. My life's so terrible. Everything is wrong in my life. It's horrible. And then what do we say? Oh, no, no, no. No, no, trust me. You're great, right? We're just trying to build them up. We're trying to tell them, don't be so down all the time. Here's another thing it's not. It's not to butter God up. Sometimes we have people in authority over us that are just really needy. You have a boss like that? Linda, put your hands down. If it's not to bring out the best in God, if it's not to build up God, and it's not to flatter God, then why do we tell God how great thou art? I want to answer that by giving you a set of questions. And the first question is this, does God need our praise? Does God need our praise? If we withhold our praise from God, does that make God lacking? No. God is good whether we praise him or not. And as a matter of fact, God is great whether we praise him or not. Here's a second question. Does God desire our praise? Yes. Over and over again, the scriptures says that God desires, even commands his people to worship him, to honor him, to acknowledge the greatness of God. Does God need it? No. Does God desire it? Yes. And then here's the follow-up. Do we need to praise God? Do we need to praise God? Yes. Absolutely yes. C.S. Lewis is thinking about this very question about praising God, and he writes, "No one likes the guy who demands constant assurance of his own virtue or intelligence or delightfulness." And I would add on to that, nor do we like the entourage that just hangs around with a celebrity or with someone famous or a millionaire and says, "Oh, you're great, whatever you say, yes, oh," you know, we're just the backup guy saying, "Whatever you want to do, that's what we'll do." C.S. Lewis is bothered by the idea of a God who gathers people around him just to say, "You're great." It was troubling for him. But then Lewis has an epiphany moment. He learns that it's in worship that things change. Here's what he says. "It is in praise of God that God makes himself known to us. We come into God's presence," and read this next line with me, "and we find where we belong." Read that last line again. "And we find where we," one more time, "and we find where we belong." Where do we find our peace, our hope, our joy, our healing, our purpose? We find it in worship. We find it in acknowledging the greatness of God. And that, in truth, is opposite of the way that the world would say find your peace. The world would tell you the way to find your peace, your hope, your joy, your healing, your purpose is to tell somebody else how great they are. Find a star, find an idol, find a rock star or an actor or a politician. Tell someone else how great they are and then you'll be complete, right? Wrong. You know one thing about human nature? Is that we put people high on a pedestal, and then we begin to resent them being up so high. And what do we do with people that we put on a pedestal? Knock it down. Don't we do that over and over again? You know what just gets me? This isn't part of this. I don't understand this. What's her name? The Princess Meghan Markle? You guys see how her own family treats her? That is the most disgusting thing in the world. In order to get a little bit of FaceTime, in order to get a little bit of money, a little bit of news, we'll go out and badmouth our daughter, our sister, our friend. We'll try to cut someone down to build ourselves up. And we think that's where we're going to find our purpose. We think that's where we're going to find our hope, our joy, our fulfillment. No, that's wrong. It's not going to be in worshiping someone else or in cutting someone else down. So then the world will tell you, well, the way to find your peace, your hope, your joy, your healing, your purpose is to get other people to tell you how great you are. Get enough friends, get enough likes on Facebook, get enough trophies, get enough votes. If enough people tell you how great you are, you finally made it. Wrong. Do you remember the very first sin? It's not just eating the forbidden fruit. The serpent tells Eve, "You will be like God. You'll be great. We'll sing your praises." Pride comes before the fall. Does God need it? No. Does God desire it? Yes. Do we need to praise God? Yes. Do we desire to praise God? I think that's the heart of the question. Do we desire to praise God? See, I think that we were made to worship. I think we were made to honor something greater and truer. I think that everyone gives themselves to something, and the question is, what is it? There are many times in my life when my deepest desire has been to make famous the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, I humbly say before you, there have been many times in my life when my deepest desire was to make Joe Johnson famous and great. There are times when I can look and say, was my desire that God would be worshiped? or that someone would clap me on the back and say, good job. Examine your own life and answer that question. Do we desire to worship God? Or do we desire for other people to tell us, you're great? I'm not saying that there are never times or places for lifting ourselves up, but I just wonder what would it look like if our desire was for the presence of God and to find where we belong. So that even in a thunderstorm, we could say, how great thou art. When birds are singing in the morning, how great thou art. What if we were to live our lives with the aim of entering into his presence that others may say how great he is? I was at the fish fry on Friday, and I've got the coolest job at the fish fry. Everybody else is in the kitchen working or online serving or being one of those good-looking cashiers. My job is just to walk around and to talk to people, and I get to eat with people. And I was walking around, and I ate with a guy, and I'd never met him before, and I asked him if I could tell the story that he told me afterwards. He told me about his successes in his business, and he was constantly saying through this, glory to God, and God gave me this, and God blessed me with this. I told him what today's sermon was going to be, and I just said, you know, this fits right in it, that you're giving God this glory. You're not taking the credit yourself. And after I told him that, and I told him I'd like to use that in the sermon, he says, yeah, but can I tell you something, Pastor? That's only half the story. The other half of the story is I'm in debt. And it's serious debt, and I don't know how I'm going to make it yet. And he said, the other part of the story is my wife left me 10 months ago, and she's with some other man now in another state, and we're still married, but she's not here with me, and that kills me, it hurts me. And he said, and yet, still, God is good. All the time, God is good. And I just want to say, for that guy, God is like his North Star. You know what I mean? That constant. So that when you find the North Star lost, you know what direction you're headed in. You know where home is. That's what it's like for that guy. Whether things are going good or whether things are going bad, he knows where he is because he knows where he belongs. This is what it says in Isaiah 45, verse 18. For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in its place. He made the world to be lived in, not a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. Then in verse 20, he says this, gather together and come, you fugitives from surrounding nations. See, God is constantly calling us back. When the children of Israel were at Mount Sinai and they turned and worshiped false idols through Moses, he called the people to come back. When Israel turned their back as a nation on God, he sent the prophets over and over again, said, come back, find yourself in me. He says this in verse 23 through 25, every knee will bend to me, every tongue will declare allegiance to me. The people will declare the Lord is the what? Source of all my righteousness and strength. He's a source. And the Lord and all the generations of Israel will be justified, and in him they will boast. In him they will boast. I can't speak for you, but I am a boastful person. I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but that's the way it is. I'm a boastful person. I never lose at spoons. That's just the way it is, okay? Anybody willing to admit that they're kind of like me? That we boast? Sometimes we go to extreme. We talk about our lives, about how great it is. We put only the best pictures on Facebook, and we want everyone to think about how great we are, right? Then there's sometimes people who boast about how great their problems are. Amen? You know what I mean? Nobody's got problems like I've got. Oh, my life is so terrible. Oh, you know? Maybe we boast in that. Maybe we boast in our grandkids. Well, don't stop boasting in grandkids. That's an important thing to do. But here's the question. What would it look like if our greatest boast was in the Lord? On a youth corps celebration retreat, we took the youth to Warren Dunes State Park, and we're walking along the beach at sunset in Michigan, and it's beautiful. The sun's going down and the sky was painted with purples and reds and yellows. And one of the youth says, I can't believe this happens every night. What he's saying is, I can't believe that this happens not only in Michigan, but I can't believe that this happens in Indiana, and I'm in my house and I never even see it. I'm asleep while God is doing this incredible thing, and I've never seen it like this before. We stood out there watching the sunset. We didn't read liturgy. We didn't burst into song, but it was a time of worship. We all gathered around a huge piece of driftwood. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Were you there, Olivia? Were you there, Yesenia? We gathered around this incredibly huge piece of driftwood. And I challenged them. I said, we can do this. We picked up this piece of driftwood. We set it off into the water. And we watched it go. And I don't know how you felt. But for me, it was neat. It was special. And if I could say that I had words, I would have said that as we watched that, we said, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Friends, a lot of us try to live our lives as if it's all about making our name great. If you do, things will not go right. Because we were made for something else. We were made to give our worship and praise to a God who is greater than anything or anyone that we could ever know or imagine. God in his goodness and grace chooses to love us and calls for us to love him back. There was a first father full of excitement at the birth of his son. And so he's walking around the delivery room asking the nurse questions. He asked the nurse, what's the best diapers to get for my son? What's the best type of car seat to get for my son? And then he asked the third question, and she just busts out laughing. She laughs and says, oh my goodness, I haven't heard that one before, but that's my new favorite father question. Later on, his wife says, what was that third question that you asked the nurse that she laughed at you about? Father says, I have no idea what was so funny about it. I just asked her, what time in the morning should we wake up the baby? We might want to boast about ourselves. But that's not how we were made. We were made each day to wake up, fill our lungs with air, and to scream out, how great thou art. Amen.